I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. As more Australians get vaccinated against COVID-19, we might feel like breathing a collective sigh of relief. But even as we begin to recover from one public health crisis, pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and Australian researchers are already investing money and time in preventing the next one from happening. Today, how to stop the world's biggest human health threat, superbugs. It's Monday, the 1st of November. So, Donna, while pharmaceutical giants and researchers have been busy making COVID vaccines over the last year, they've also been looking at something that's not related to this pandemic. Can you tell me more about this?
Well, way before COVID-19 came along, scientists were predicting the world's next pandemic, and that was related to something known as superbugs.
Donna Liu is a science writer at Guardian Australia.
Superbugs are bugs, so bacteria, viruses, parasites and fungi that are resistant to antimicrobial drugs like antibiotics. Something that a lot of people would probably have heard of is an infection known as golden staph. Scientifically, it's known as MRSA or methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. And this is a bacteria that's resistant to methicillin, which is a type of penicillin antibiotic. MRSA was first isolated back in 1961, and since then it's become a really common hospital superbug globally.
When you say hospital superbug, what do you mean?
It's interesting because MRSA actually is found up our noses. About 1 in 3 people are actually carriers of MRSA, and in a lot of cases it's harmless. But in a hospital setting, when you have immunocompromised people, people who have other diseases, that's when it can cause some really nasty problems.
What types of problems can superbugs cause?
Scientists have been warning about the dangers of superbugs for decades, ever since penicillin, an antibiotic, first became widely available in the 1950s. In recent years, there have been more reports about bacterial infections that can't be treated by routine antibiotics, and they're already killing around 700,000 people globally each year. And this is part of the reason some of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies are turning their attention to this issue. In July 2020, Pfizer pledged $100 million to a fund that's meant to be worth over $1 billion overall. And this fund aims to create up to 4 brand new antibiotics. Then earlier this year in April, Pfizer bought a private company called Amplyx Pharmaceuticals, which specializes in medications that fight invasive fungal infections. And both these investments are aimed at medicines to tackle superbugs.
When you say that a lot of people are already dying from superbugs globally each year, I mean, where is this happening? Who is most vulnerable to drug-resistant superbugs?
A report by the nonprofit group Access to Medicine Foundation last year said that poorer countries have higher rates of infection than richer countries, and yet they don't have access to many of the best antibiotics we have here in Australia, and this makes them much more vulnerable to superbugs. For example, in places like Brazil, Indonesia, and Russia, estimates are between 40 and 60% of infections being caused by superbugs. And Australian scientists have been warning about the risks in our region. The CSIRO is currently doing a 3-year study into drug-resistant bacteria in Fiji. And Dr. Paul DeBarro, a biosecurity research director at the CSIRO, told The Guardian last year, and I quote, "If you thought COVID was bad, you don't want antimicrobial resistance." And he said he didn't think it would be exaggerating to say that it is the biggest human health threat, bar none. He described it as that we could go back into the dark ages of health.
If there was an outbreak.
If there was an outbreak, yes. And the evidence is that the Pacific Islands are particularly at risk and ill-prepared.
I mean, it just fills you with a sense of dread.
Personally, this is one of the topics that makes me periodically panic. I there's no way of sugarcoating it, unfortunately, but it really does fill me with dread. From time to time, I will lie awake at night thinking about it. It just pops into my head unbidden at 3 a.m.
So if this is such a big threat and if there are warnings from scientists around the world about this, why haven't we fixed it? Why haven't we developed a drug that can fight off superbugs?
To understand this, I guess we first have to understand a little bit about bacteria and antibiotics and how they're supposed to work, keeping in mind that a huge burden of disease seems to come from bacterial superbugs.
As opposed to diseases from other bugs like parasites or fungi.
Which is still a big problem, but bacteria are a big, big problem. Most types of bacteria don't make you sick. Many types are helpful. We need them to help digest our food, to give the body vitamins. It's estimated that we have so many microorganisms living on and in us. So that's bacteria primarily, but also there's fungi and archaea, that actually we have as many non-human cells as human cells.
We have little colonies of bacteria in and around us.
We have many, many colonies. But, of course, some bacteria can make us ill. They reproduce quickly in our body. They give off toxins, which can damage tissue and make us sick. So common examples of this might be things like streptococcus. So you think about strep throat or E. coli or salmonella in terms of food poisoning.
So how do antibiotics fight off this harmful bacteria?
Different classes of antibiotics target bacteria in different ways. So some might target bacteria's genetic components of their DNA, some might mess with their cell walls. And a lot of antibiotics are actually compounds found in nature produced by other microorganisms. So, for example, penicillin is actually made by a fungus. We've only got so many ways to kill bacteria. So these are the antibiotic classes. And each time if you take an antibiotic and it doesn't kill off all the bacteria, it's likely that the ones that have survived have developed some method for resisting the medication. It's like a process of natural selection. And over time, these will replicate, and that eventually results in antibiotic resistance. And if they replicate and spread, this is essentially a superbug. And either we have to drastically improve existing antibiotics or find new things that we've never used before to be able to beat them.
So how do we find something completely new to beat a superbug that has managed to defeat all known antibiotics in the past?
Creating new drugs obviously takes a huge amount of investment of money and time. There's only a handful of pharmaceutical companies in the world that are developing and manufacturing antibiotics. And many companies have seen no financial incentive to develop new ones because antibiotics don't make a lot of profit. So if you take Pfizer, for example, their focus on antibiotic research had really dropped off until mid last year.
Why weren't they prioritizing this?
You can see how if you develop a drug and, as we've just described, it becomes ineffective as resistance grows, there's a sense of diminishing returns of that research. The World Health Organization has criticized pharmaceutical companies for this approach, for their lack of interest. And it said that this has left the world with drugs with limited effectiveness against some superbugs. And in some cases, drugs become completely ineffective against certain bacteria. And as we've seen with COVID, funding for novel science is often not a priority until it's an absolute emergency.
Right. But now that more and more attention is being given to the threat of superbugs, what are they looking at?
Well, they're looking in crazy places for one, like the deep sea for new antibiotics. For example, scientists at Plymouth University have been collecting specimens of plant-like animals from the North Atlantic Sea, which seem to be killing bacteria.
What do you mean by plant-like animals? I'm imagining like seaweed with legs at the moment.
Kind of close. They're looking at deep sea sponges and corals, and they're specifically looking at the chemical defenses that are produced by microbes living inside them. And, you know, these are things that we've never encountered before, and the scientists are still trying to work out what they are and what gives them this special ability to kill seemingly indestructible bacteria.
I mean, it sounds bizarre to go and look in the deep sea for a solution, but then you think about penicillin, which everyone knows about, coming from fungi, which seems like, you know, a fairly bizarre place to find such an incredible medical solution.
It seems implausible, but at the same time, a lot of the antibiotics we have come from things that nature has produced. And so it makes sense that we're looking in the most extreme places to see what nature turns up. But it's not just the deep sea. I've also been speaking to some Australian researchers who think they might be onto something big.
Next, how Australian scientists and others are trying to stop superbugs in their tracks. So, Donna, tell me more about these Australian researchers and what they're doing.
It's a team of researchers in Melbourne working at Monash University in collaboration with Harvard Medical School. I spoke to one of the researchers, Dr. Jennifer Payne. She's been really interested by immunotherapeutics. So this is using the body's immune system to target cancer cells, for example, and she's really interested in how this could also be used to fight off bacteria.
So how is their research looking at superbugs specifically?
So there's an antibiotic called vancomycin, which is used to treat MRSA, that common concerning superbug we were talking about earlier. And the researchers use this antibiotic and they're using it to target the bacteria. And what they did was they took these compounds called formulated peptides. They're a type of signaling compound, and they attached it to the vancomycin. And what this peptide does essentially is it acts like a trail of breadcrumbs. It attracts white blood cells to an area to help kill the MRSA.
Right. So you've got this powerful antibiotic, vancomycin, and then the body's natural defenses, which are the white blood cells being attracted by the peptides. You've got both of them coming together in the body. Is that right?
Exactly, and they're working in combination to fight off the bacteria.
And is it effective? What does it do with MRSA?
So in this particular study, they tested the combination in mice, and Dr. Payne said that the new combination was twice as effective as using the antibiotic by itself in mice, even when they only used 1/5 of the usual dose.
Wow, so a smaller dose and twice as effective at beating off MRSA in mice.
Yeah.
How excited should we be about those results? Because I know that non-human studies and trials, you know, are just the earlier stages of research, right?
It is really promising, but it is very early days. They did do this study in live mice models. They did test it on human cells, but in vitro, so in the lab. So it could be years before we're able to test this in humans, in clinical trials, which are obviously expensive and also need extensive ethics approval.
Right, but is this approach just helpful in fighting off this one superbug, MRSA, or could it be helpful more broadly?
The researchers do think that this approach could be used for other antibiotics, other superbugs, but we don't know yet because they haven't been able to investigate.
So as you mentioned, it sounds like this is a way off. But you also mentioned that there is a lot of interest and funding, this big global fund. I'm wondering what is happening there and what Pfizer in particular is looking at.
So the Antimicrobial Resistance Fund is run by this big federation of pharmaceutical organizations. It's supported by the World Health Organization and the European Investment Bank. They say they're aiming to have between 2 and 4 new antibiotics up and running by 2030. It's unclear how much the fund's actually raised so far, or how many drug candidates they're backing now, or how Pfizer and other drug companies that have invested will split the intellectual property. And it's also unclear how much governments are putting aside to manage this threat. And it's not just this fund. There are other global groups. There's one known as CARB-X, Combating Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria, which is funded by several governments as well as big foundations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Right. So why all this interest and focus and this billion-dollar fund just last year? Why are people paying attention now?
I think it's been an area of growing concern for many years now. It's hard to say specifically whether the pandemic was a wake-up call for people or whether it just happened to coincide with a peak in concern for antimicrobial resistance. But definitely it's a sense that if we don't act quickly and urgently, that we might not be able to prevent a huge crisis of pandemic proportions.
Mm. I suppose my concern would be that we're still in this pandemic, you know, a couple of years down the line when the threat of this pandemic kind of fades from our collective imaginations. Could it drop off the map in terms of interest? And will we not learn the lessons of this pandemic?
I mean, that's the big worry, isn't it? That we won't address the issue until it's already too late, as we did with this pandemic. I guess a silver lining is with COVID, as it's shown us, it has been possible to rapidly develop new drugs. In this case, it was vaccines. But in the case of superbugs, it'll be new antibiotics, different antimicrobials, when there's a pressing demand for it. And so I think it's really important that we don't lose focus and don't forget that this is a problem. But the one hope I have in the back of my mind is that even if this problem becomes something of pandemic proportions, we'll be able to do enough to combat it.
When you hear about things like the Australian researchers and their work, does it help with those sleepless nights?
It definitely makes me feel better to know that there are really smart people who are also kept up late at night by this and who are actually doing something about it instead of fretting endlessly.
That was Donna Liu, science writer at Guardian Australia. You can read her reporting on superbugs at theguardian.com, and we've put some links to her work and the work of the global Guardian team on the full story page. This episode was produced by Jane Lee, Miles Herbert, Melanie Tate, and Daniel Simo, who also did the sound design. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.